Hi, I'm Catherine Marr, President and CEO of NPR. I want to take a moment to say a heartfelt thank you for supporting WSHU. Whether you've made a one-time gift or you're a monthly sustaining donor, your generosity is what keeps WSHU going. Because of you, we can continue to bring you the news, music, and storytelling you rely on every day. Your support ensures that public radio stays strong and accessible to all. Thank you for being an essential part of the WSHU community. We couldn't do it without you.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. A Connecticut lawyer wants to unseal a video of a prisoner's fatal beating. CVS is laying off hundreds of employees that report to its Hartford office. The New York Attorney General is suing TikTok. And a volunteer group at one of Connecticut's popular aquariums is being recognized for their work. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Molly Ingram, in for Sabrina Garone. Connecticut lawyer wants to unseal the 2018 video of a prison inmate's fatal beating as part of a lawsuit against the State Department of Corrections. WSHU's Isabella Fabo reports.
The video shows correction officers hitting the inmate and spraying him in the face with pepper spray. He was naked, handcuffed behind his back, and shackled at his ankles. They also put a bag over his head. A corrections officer recorded the 50-minute video. The officers and a nurse waited 7 minutes before they started CPR. An autopsy found the injuries were fatal to the inmate, who had cardiovascular disease. The chief medical examiner ruled his death a homicide. State officials are defending DOC staff. They say correction officers didn't use excessive force. The case is set to go to trial in February. Isabella Fabo, WSHU News.
Pharmaceutical giant CVS Health has announced plans to lay off employees at the headquarters of its subsidiary Aetna Insurance in Hartford, Connecticut. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
The State Department of Labor says CVS told the agency this week that 416 employees that report to Aetna will lose their jobs, including more than 300 who work remotely. The layoffs will happen in December, and the company says the cuts are expected to be permanent. The Rhode Island-based company says it's cutting nearly 3,000 jobs nationwide to trim expenses, according to Hearst Connecticut Media. Most of the jobs are administrative positions. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
The New York State Attorney General has sued the social media giant TikTok. Letitia James claims the platform is harmful to children's mental health. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
James accuses TikTok of violating state law by falsely claiming it's safe for kids. In court documents, James says the platform is deliberately addictive, and dangerous TikTok challenges, like train surfing, can lead to injuries and death. The lawsuit also blames TikTok for mental health problems and body image issues in children. A TikTok spokesperson says those claims are inaccurate and misleading. 13 other states have filed similar suits. This summer, a dozen school districts on Long Island joined a separate nationwide lawsuit alleging social media companies, including TikTok, have caused a youth mental health crisis. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
A volunteer group at one of Connecticut's popular aquariums is being recognized for their work. That's coming up.
Local support comes from Hartford HealthCare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the LeapFrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthCare.org.
The city of Stamford sent residents postcards with incorrect polling information this weekend. Officials blamed a technical error, and the printer will send out new postcards at no cost to taxpayers.
Advocates say more than 20 colleges in New York are violating state law by not offering a polling place on campus. In 2022, New York mandated that any college with more than 300 registered voters must have a polling place. The law is in an effort to increase youth voter turnout and eliminate the barriers students face in voting. The remains of a missing World War II soldier from Bridgeport were found by a construction crew in Germany. Scientists used dental and DNA analysis to identify the remains as a 19-year-old U.S. Army sergeant who died fighting the Nazis. His remains will be laid to rest in Rhode Island after almost 80 years in Germany. Thousands of Connecticut households earn less than the living wage, according to a recent report from the United Way of Connecticut. WSHU's Sarah Anastasi reports.
The report says about 40% of Connecticut residents qualify as what they call ALICE, asset limited, income constrained, and employed. This means they have jobs, but don't make enough money to support their families. Ashley Gaudiano is with the United Way of Coastal and Western Connecticut. She says the best solution is to establish an annual child tax credit.
During COVID-19, the federal government enacted a child tax credit. We saw for the first time ever rates of child poverty fall. You know, unlike so many policy solutions where, you know, we've done the research and we think they're going to work, this one we've sat and we've watched it work.
Gaudiano says Connecticut residents can't afford housing, utilities, and childcare. The report also shows that ALICE households are more likely to be Black and Hispanic. Personal care aides are the most likely occupation to qualify as ALICE, followed by nursing assistants, cooks, and fast food workers. Sarah Anastasi, WSHU News.
The Maritime Aquarium in Norwalk is home to thousands of marine species, but it also runs a number of volunteer programs that support the health of Long Island Sound. Now, the aquarium is being recognized for its teen volunteer group by the National Association of Zoos and Aquariums. WSHU's Sabrina Garone spoke with Tom Naiman, VP of Education at the Maritime Aquarium.
A lot of folks might not realize that maritime is a lot more than just the aquarium. Aside from being a great place to see wildlife, could you give us an overview of some of the work that's done in the field?
Certainly, most people do think of the Maritime Aquarium as a great place to take their kids, and we are that, and we always want to be that. But we also have a much, much bigger mission, which involves the three real pillars of our work, and those are the aquarium, the education programs, and our conservation programs. But what's really exciting is the work we're doing to have an impact on making sure that people know and appreciate Long Island Sound and the global ocean, and on preparing the next generation to be stewards of nature, and the work that we're doing to understand the ecology of our region and to protect it.
And speaking of the next generation, the aquarium just won an engagement award for the ECHO Teen Volunteer Corps. Could you tell me about some of the work that that group is doing specifically?
What we've done in that program has been really exciting. And ECHO stands for Ecology, Conservation, Heritage, and Outreach. We start with teens in their first year in the aquarium, and we provide them with best practices training in the field of interpretation. People outside of our business don't necessarily know what the field of interpretation is, and it's really the practice of making meaning out of a natural site or a natural collection, or an artistic or a science collection. And we provide interpretive training to our teens in their first year. We give them instruction and opportunities to practice interaction with each other, interaction with the public around touch tanks and exhibits at the aquarium. We also seek opportunities for them to go out into the community, whether that may be the school they go to, their family, their friends, and the places they live. When a teen is passionate and excited about something, as we all know, there's really no stopping them.
Yeah. Do you hear stories from kids who've gone through the program? Like, do a lot of them continue on into college or other careers that involve science because they went through this?
One story that I do tell is of a wonderful young woman who was an intern in our department and went on to get her PhD in coral biology. Mm-hmm. She's now a professor at the University of Hawaii. And she told me that she was set on this path and she fell in love with marine science when she dissected a squid in middle school at an aquarium. So that's just one example. There are many, but it's really exciting to be able to expose people in their formative years to all of the things that they can pursue that not only will be inspiring to them, gratifying to them, but also will make the world a better and a safer place.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, listen on the radio, stream on WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. I'm Molly Ingram, in for Sabrina Garone. Talk to you tomorrow.